Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our pastor.
Amen. Take your Bibles and open them to the book of Acts. Book of Acts, we're in the 20th chapter. Thank you to our music worship team and all that they mean to us and in worshiping the Lord today. This is Acts chapter 20. We're going to begin with verse 13, and we're going to go through verse 25. So you look in your Bible at Acts chapter 20, find verse 13, and follow along as I read from my copy of God's Word. This is Acts 20, verse 13. Then we went ahead to the ship and sailed to Assos. They're intending to take Paul on board, for he had given orders intending himself to go on foot. And when he met us at Assos, we took him on board and came to Mytilene. We sailed from there. The next day came opposite Chios. The following day we arrived at Samos and stayed at Trigellium. The next day we came to Miletus, for Paul had decided to sail past Ephesus so that he would not have to spend time in Asia, for he was hurrying to be at Jerusalem if possible on the day of Pentecost. From Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called for the elders of the church, and when they had come to him, he said to them, "You know from the first day that I came to Asia in what manner I always lived among you, serving the Lord with all humility, with many tears and trials which happened to me by the plotting of the Jews, how I kept back nothing that was helpful, but proclaimed it to you and taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying to Jews and also to Greeks, repentance towards God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And see, now I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulations await me. But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, for that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God." Verse 25. "And indeed, now I know that you all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, will see my face no more." Paul is saying goodbye in Acts chapter 20. And last week we looked at the beginning of it. Paul says goodbye. Well, we're continuing really with a part two. Last week, this was Paul's goodbye from Luke's perspective. If you notice, most of our passage today is a quote of what Paul says himself, okay? So Luke has recorded what Paul says about his ministry there. Last week at the beginning of the chapter is really Luke's description of Paul. And if you remember that, this was a description of really what Paul did. Remember, he was an encourager. We learned that last week. He was a writer. He wrote the epistles to the different churches. He was a discipler, and there's a listing of different people that he had poured into. He was a discipler, and then he was a worshiper. And we learned about worship, some of the components of worship last week. We learned about the Lord's Day, the Lord's people, the Lord's Supper, which we will have today together, the Lord's Supper, and then the Lord's message and the Lord's power. So last week was Luke's description of what Paul did. Today, he describes his own ministry in his own words. And church family, we can learn a lot about the kind of ministry that we need to have as individuals, the kind of ministry that we need to have as a church when we see his example, okay? And so there are four things that I want us to think about. So if you'll write these down, here's the first one, Paul's movement. We see his movement in verses 13 through 17. Now, Paul had been in Troas. You remember Eutychus, the guy that fell asleep when he was preaching? Paul was preaching till midnight. I'm not going to go till midnight tonight. Amen? All right. Did I say tonight? I'm not going to go till midnight today. Okay? Amen? All right. So, But I may go a little longer. So just kind of buckle your seatbelt. No, we should be on the normal time. But he preached that night, and Eutychus fell out of the window. And remember, Paul raised him up, and he was okay. And it says that they were comforted in a big way, all right? So Paul is in Troas. Now, the scripture says in verse 13, then we went ahead to the ship and sailed to Assos, there intending to take Paul on board. For so he had given orders, intending himself to go on foot. Paul kind of changed, and he wanted to spend a little bit more time on foot. And there was about a 20-mile walk that he was going from Troas there. And so he wanted to go on foot. And when he met us at Assos, they took him on board, and he came to Mytilene, all right? And then we sailed from there, and the next day came opposite of Chios, and the following day we arrived at Samos and stayed at Trigellium, and then the next day we came to Miletus, all right? For Paul had decided to sail past Ephesus so that he would not have to spend time in Asia, for he was hurrying to be at Jerusalem, if possible, on the day of Pentecost. The day of Pentecost was 50 days after the Passover. And so he was trying to get to Jerusalem. You remember, he had an offering. He was taking up a collection for the church in Jerusalem. Now, we have a map that we're going to put on the screen of the third missionary journey. And I just want you to kind of see, I don't know if you can see all of this, but you see Troas is up there where it says Mysia on the left-hand side. There's even a little box up there that says Paul restores life to young Eutychus. And then Paul walks to Assos. Then he gets on the ship, and you can see where he's in the water, and he comes down to Miletus, all right? And from Miletus, you can look up from Miletus, and you see the city of Ephesus, one of the main places Paul had spent. He had spent 3 years in Ephesus, and so he gets on the ship, and he goes down to Miletus, and then he calls for the elders of the church. He was in a hurry. He wanted to get to Jerusalem, so he didn't want to go to Ephesus. He had been there 3 years. He didn't want to go there because he knew he would stay longer and longer and longer in a visit, and he was trying to get to Jerusalem. So this first part, you see his movement. He was always on the move. And there he called for the elders of the church, and he wanted to talk to them. Now, the word elder is the word presbyteros, which is a term for a respected leader, and there's actually the office of elder in the New Testament. It is also equivalent to the idea of overseer. Look at verse 28. Now, if you look down at verse 28 in our passage in Acts 20, it says, therefore, take heed yourselves into all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. That is the word episkopos. You've heard the word Episcopalian. The word episkopos, or the word bishop, okay? And then he says, at the beginning of verse 28, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock. He gives the idea that an elder is a bishop who is an overseer or who oversees a flock, okay? And so you get the idea of a pastor. A pastor is a shepherd. And so the church family calls me pastor because I am the pastor of this particular flock of sheep. Say, bah. There you go. There you go. So I, you know, I'm learning how to shepherd. But the point I'm trying to make is there's some debate about it, but you find most New Testament scholars believe that these three offices are one and the same. You find in Ephesians chapter 4, pastor, teacher. Okay, the idea of being a pastor is the idea of being an elder, the idea of being an overseer, okay? So he calls for these leaders that were in Ephesus, all right? And he's going to talk to them. Now, so it's described to us by Luke, his movement. But now, in verse 18, look at this. And when they had come to him, he said to them. So everything we're going to read following are Paul's own words describing his ministry, all right? So the second thing, the first thing was Paul's movement. Say that, movement. Paul's movement. the second thing is Paul's manner. Say that, manner. Paul's manner. All right, look at verse 18. He says there in verse 18, and when he had come to know, he said to them, when they had come to him, he said to them, you know from the first day that I came to Asia in what manner I always lived among you. The word manner here comes from a word, really from the word where we get our word how. How did you do that? In other words, the point is, how was I among you? I want to talk to you about how I was among you, is what Paul is saying. He's going to talk to him about his manner, okay? He's actually going to try to paint a picture of an example, trying to be an example of what a believer is, an example to these Ephesian elders of how to live. And he says in verse 18, what manner I always lived among you. He lived it. He didn't just say it, but he lived it. And then it says in verse 19, serving the Lord. Paul often spoke of himself as serving, as a servant. The word there is the word doulos. The Greek word doulos means a bondservant. And the question is, as a follower of Jesus Christ, church family, we are to become servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are to become, are you ready for this? A slave of the Lord Jesus Christ. When I was doing youth work, I used to have young people think about this commitment. All that I am, all that I have, all that I ever hope to be, I now and forever dedicate to the Lord Jesus Christ. Think about that statement. All that I am, all that I have, all that I ever hope to be, I now and forever dedicate to the Lord Jesus Christ. And then at the tail end of that, it said, now, Lord, hold me to it. Now, Lord, hold me to it. Well, that is a doulos. And Paul said in Romans chapter 1, he described himself as a bondslave. Often he would say, a servant of the Lord. That's the idea, a servant of the Lord. So what was his manner? His manner was that he was sold out. That's just my way of saying, I grew up on that statement, being sold out for Christ. I used to always use one until I realized I didn't totally know what it meant. I used to say, sell out to Christ, lock, stock, and barrel. Now, somebody knows what that means, but I know that it means totally sell out to Christ and let him be the Lord of your life. And so you see that in his description. What kind of manner, how did Paul live among them? Well, he lived as a servant of the Lord. And then it says, serving the Lord with all humility, humility. In Philippians chapter 2, Paul reiterates this. He says this, let nothing be done through selfish ambition. This is the opposite of humility, selfish ambition or conceit. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. And in Philippians chapter 2, the greatest example of that is the Lord Jesus Christ, who left heaven's glory and became a man, remember? And he took on the form of a man and became and died on the cross. He thought not himself to be equal with God, although he was, but he made himself, the Bible says, of no reputation, and took on himself the form of a servant and came in the likeness of men. So Philippians chapter 2 gives us that picture, but Paul says, what was my manner among you? Well, I came in humility. Colossians chapter 3 says it this way, verse 12, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, we've talked about meekness, and long-suffering. So church family, as a follower of Jesus Christ, if we're going to look at Paul in his example, if we're going to look at the manner in which he ministered, then we're going to realize that these are the things we're to put on: tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, and long-suffering. Now, he says there in verse 19 also, he says, with many tears and trials which happened to me by the plotting of the Jews. Everywhere Paul went, there were plots against him. You remember, he always went first. Where did he go preach first? To the what? Synagogue, that's right. He always went to the synagogue first. He would go to the Jews, but then he would go to the Gentiles. And every time he would go to the synagogue, many times they would be against him and they would plot against him. In Antioch, in Iconium, in Lystra, in Thessalonica, in Berea, and in Corinth, there was all kinds of difficulty. And there was a recent plot against him that got him to Troas. That's what moved him to Troas. So he was saying, look, with tears and trials in verse 20, in verse 19, he says, with many tears and trials which happened to me by the plotting of the Jews. So what was his manner? His manner was, look, I went through a lot of difficulty in that time, all right? Romans chapter 9, verse 1 says this, I tell you the truth in Christ, I am not lying. These are the words of Paul. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Spirit that I have great sorrow and continual grief in my heart. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, remember, from Ephesus, this period of time we're studying in the book of Acts, he wrote the book of 1 Corinthians because the church in Corinth was having all kinds of problems. And here's what he said when he wrote them their second book. He said, for out of much affliction and anguish of heart, I wrote to you with many tears. Folks, I think that when you get involved in people's lives for the gospel's sake, and you get involved in the ministry that God has called you, I think that you will probably shed some tears. Amen? I think you'll probably go through some trials. It will not always be easy. And this goes against our culture that wants everything easy. We want the easy way. We want everything to be done for us. We want there to be no difficulty. And yet we find in God's Word, the people whom God used many times went headlong into difficulty, into tough situations, into trials, and into things that actually caused tears. And Paul says that. What was his manner? His manner was he was a servant. His manner is that he came with tears, and then his manner was that he came in all humility. I love the illustration that Billy Graham gave. They once asked him about, Dr. Graham, you have preached to more people face-to-face than anybody in the history of the church, and preached to over 1 million people in Seoul, Korea one time on an airfield. I mean, you ought to see the pictures of that. It's just absolutely amazing, him preaching. And he had Billy Kim, the Korean translator, who was translating for him in the Korean language. It was a beautiful, beautiful thing. They asked him, did you ever wonder how you'd ever get there? He said, I tell you what I feel like. He said, I feel like a turtle on a fence post. I want you to picture that. Here's a fence post and here's a turtle on top of it. Can't you see those legs, those four legs wiggling like that trying to get off that fence post? There's one thing you know about a turtle on a fence post. He did not get there by himself. I think, church family, believer in Christ, pastor, I think we need a good dose of that, don't we? Everything good you have in this life is a gift from God. Every resource at your disposal, every relationship that brings joy, every breath you take is a gift from God. So therefore, what is to be our manner? We need to be humble. And when we go outside these doors and we preach our gospel to a lost world, we realize that lostness produces sin. And when someone is living in sin, rather than being on our high horse in judgment, we need to realize, but by the grace of God, there go I. And we realize that Christ has changed our life. Now, it does not stop us from taking a strong stand for the things of God and the standard of God. But Paul came with great strength and great power in his preaching, but he also came with humility and gentleness as he shared that message. And so what was his manner? All right, here's the third thing quickly. What was his message? Well, he had a message to the church in verse 20. Look at this. In verse 20 says, how I kept back nothing that was helpful. It brings back memories of him going to the school of Tyrannus in chapter 19. Remember, he got run out of the synagogue. Then he goes in the school of Tyrannus, and he's teaching the people. He's teaching the believers, and their group grew. He held back nothing to them. And he says in verse 20 that he proclaimed it to you. It's the idea to announce. He kept back nothing that would be helpful. And then it says there in verse 20, it says, he kept back nothing that was helpful, but proclaimed it to you and taught you. That word for teaching means to be to provide instruction in a formal setting. In other words, listen, if all we get in here, and if all you get in your own Bible study is you pick and choose the things you just want to hear that tickle your ears and just make you feel good about yourself, then you're not getting everything that's helpful. I want you to go out of here every once in a while with your toes stepped on. Matter of fact, I like it when my toes are stepped on, when the hammer of God's word comes down upon Calvin Carr and says, wait a minute, you line up with my word, Calvin. That's what Paul said. He said, what was his message to the church? His message to the believers was, listen, I held back nothing that would be helpful. Sometimes, I'll just give you a small example. Sometimes we're a little reluctant to talk about stewardship. You know, the most sensitive nerve in the human body is a nerve from your wallet to your heart. But can I tell you this? The Lord talked more about giving and resources and tithing. You ready for this? Than he talked about hell. You show me someone, and I've seen this through the years. I used to say it as a young youth pastor, saying, you know, I'm starting to see this. Well, now I've been in ministry long enough where I can look back and say, I have observed this most definitely. You show me someone stingy with their resources, and I'll show you someone not walking in victory with their Lord Jesus. I'm telling you, listen, Paul says, I held back nothing from you that would be helpful. I think about teaching about giving. I think about teaching about faithfulness to the Lord, standing strong for the Lord. I think about morality and the living under the standard of God's word. None of us are perfect, and yet God gives an ideal that we're to live by. And many times, if you're not careful in our culture, because things are going so sideways, we withhold what would be helpful. I'm so thankful that when I was a teenager, man, my pastor, he lowered the boom. He told me what the Bible taught about relationships, and the Bible taught about dating, and the Bible taught about marriage, and the Bible taught about money. And ladies and gentlemen, Paul, he had a message to the church, and he said, I held back nothing to you that was helpful, but I proclaimed it, I announced it to you, and I provided instruction, I taught you. And he taught you publicly, and then from house to house. You think about all the gatherings that Paul preached to, all the gatherings that he preached to. And then his message was not only to the church, but his message was to the lost as well. Look at this in verse 21, testifying to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance towards God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. All right? So he talks about repentance. This would be to the lost. Repentance. Really, repentance to the saved as well, to get right with the Lord. But in this context, he says he was testifying in verse 21. That is the word to invoke. He was invoking a response from those that he preached to. Repentance towards God. What is repentance? Repentance is just to change your mind. is to turn. You're going one way, and you make a 180-degree turn and go the other way. That's what the word repentance means. It means to agree with God about sin, agree with God about our need for Christ, and we're going our own way, and we say, stop, I'm going to turn around. I agree with you, Lord. My way is not the way, and I want to go towards you. That is repentance. And then faith towards the Lord Jesus Christ. And that means to have complete and total trust in the Lord, to put your faith and trust in Christ. In Acts chapter 4, verse 12, it says, nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. So he talks about, we see about his movement, we see about his manner, we see about his message to the church, holding back nothing that was helpful, but also his message to those that need Christ, repentance and faith, turning away from our sin and putting our faith and trust in Christ. And then here's the very last thing, his mandate, all right? Because in verses 22 through 25, he says in verse 22, and see, now I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem. His mandate was to get to Jerusalem. Paul was a person that was always on the go. The Lord was pressing him. Can I tell you this, church family? Don't be surprised if the Lord causes you to take action on some things. The Christian life is a life of action. It's a life of going. It's a life of doing. It's a life that when you get with Jesus, you realize God has a plan and a passion and a purpose for you. And so he says, now I go bound in the Spirit. Think about this. Think about Esther. Mordecai said to Esther, you need to go speak to the king about the Jews. And in those days, if you went in unannounced to the king could have your head. He could take your head. You did not just walk in on the king and bring something up. You didn't do that. And Mordecai said, but yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this? And Esther concluded the risk of going was worth the going. The risk was worth it, as the results may come for the Jews. And so she ended up going to King Artaxerxes, and she took action. And in the same way, Paul said this, look, I must go. And church family, as we grow in Jesus Christ, the Lord is going to call us to do things. He's going to call us to go. He's going to call you individually. Maybe the Lord is nudging you about taking a life group. Maybe the Lord is nudging you about stepping into a role that where there's a need. We have several major needs right now in the life of our church in some areas, in our children's work, in our preschool work. We have needs in our youth work. We have needs always in our college work. We have needs in our adult work. We need those to step forward and do that. Paul had a mandate. He said, now I go. And then he said this, not knowing the things that will happen to me. Look at verse 22. And see, now I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulation await me. In other words, everybody's telling me that chains and difficulty, tribulation is going to await me. But look at verse 24. I love this verse. Verse 24. But none of these things move me. What does it take to move you off of what God's called you to do? Paul says, I'm supposed to go to Jerusalem, but everybody tells me chains and tribulation are going to await me. But he says, none of these things move me. Nor do I count my life dear to myself so that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I receive from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. And indeed, now I know that you all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God will see my face no more. He says, look, you're never going to see me again. That's why I've called you here. And he says, even though I know that, even though I know there's tribulation ahead, even though they say chains await me ahead, those things don't move me. What moves me is the will and the grace of God. So my question to you is, what is it that moves you? Is there something that moves you away from doing what God wants you to do, doing what Jesus Christ wants you to do. The truth of the matter is all that Jesus has done for us bears down upon our lives, and we realize the Lord has given us an example in the manner in which they serve, in the message in which they serve, and then the mandate in which Paul served.
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.